Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, what's up? It's Thursday, October 17th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant, week 7. Is that weird to you or is it just me? Week 7? Halfway point after we get done this week. It's the halfway point of the fantasy regular season, but I don't know. That's kind of awesome at the same time. And last week, a little bit in week 5, but definitely last week, I felt things changing. I do think if you're brand new to drafting like me, if you drafted sort of like in using the strategies that I use, then maybe you're starting to see it too. But I do think this is when it all starts to happen for us. It's not week 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's okay. Like if you got through weeks 1 through 4 at like 1 and 3, 2 and 2, hey, if you did better than that, that's awesome. But I will tell you, honestly, in my main home leagues, there are two leagues that I give the most you-know-whats about. I was 1 and 3 in both of them. And now I'm not. I'm 3 and 3 in both of them. And things are starting to come along here. So obviously that is, you know, what happens at this time of year, the depth matters, all of that. So, hey, by the way, on this show today, we're going to get into a few of the latest news items from around the NFL, some injury stuff that I wanted to get into, some good, some bad. We also should talk a little bit about expectations for Davante Adams and Amari Cooper this week. And I'm going to zip through a few things in terms of wide receiver cornerback matchup, especially for the DFS heads. That's important intel right there. A couple of things that happened last week in terms of shadow coverage that were head scratchers. And I think in a good way, because, hey, the NFL is a gigantic puzzle and we don't always know what's going to happen. In fact, a lot of times we don't know what's going to happen. And I love it when the NFL surprises us. We got a couple of those last week. FTNFantasy.com, if you want the shadow coverage matrix, if you want the wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, if you want so much more than that, you know, a lot of times I'll whip out stats and, I realize I do have to promote what we do at FTN, but I don't want to turn this podcast into an infomercial. That's dumb, right? It doesn't help you. And you're going to stop listening if it's a stupid infomercial. So sometimes I'll pull out stats and I'm not always like, oh yeah, by the way, that's at FTN. But you could be assured, unless I note otherwise, that's where I'm getting it from. And a lot of times I am using our Stats Hub tool, which is very searchable, very customizable, filters, all kinds of things that you can do in there to get unique insights that you're not going to be able to get elsewhere. You know, some of the competitors, they just don't offer that level of customization. So if you're a stats head, we got you there. If you're not, we have other stuff for you as well. There are a lot of great things. People are actually really loving the leak sync aspect of FTNFantasy.com, which we built ourselves. We're not using somebody else's leak sync anymore. And the key about it is we listen to you. We listened to the subscribers and they said, hey, well, we want this, this, and this. And we said, all right, well, we're going to give it to you. Now, developing a website is not a fast process. So we're still rolling out more and more and more, but people are loving it. So yeah, go check it out. FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Let's lead with Davante Adams and Amari Cooper, because obviously these are two of the dominant stories this week in the world of the NFL. Davante Adams, pretty magical. He figured out how to cure a hamstring injury, which is, why did we never think of this before? Apparently just get traded and that clears it up just like that. It's, you know, it's better than a shot. It's better. There's no pills here, no physical therapy. He's good to go. He's practicing in full. And the expectation is he's going to be out there. So I adjusted ranking slightly. I'm still putting the pieces together. And I suspect this is probably going to take me right up until Sunday to really get my best sense of what's going to happen. But currently, I moved Adams to 30. And so that's slightly up from where I had him initially. I moved Garrett Wilson to 27, which is slightly down from where I had him. Both are playable. It is a tough matchup. Let's be clear about that. The Pittsburgh Steelers are no joke, but both are very playable here
as wide receiver threes, at least currently. Again, things could change. We could hear, oh, Adams is on a pitch count, in which case Garrett Wilson would move back up, Adams would move back down. He might be more flex worthy in that instance. Or we could hear Adams gets a full go in this one, and then maybe he moves up into wide receiver two territory, and then Wilson, he's not going to go any lower than wide receiver three. And remember, I don't mind this at all for him. They're ranked a little lower due to the uncertainty and due to the matchup. But man, I actually like this spot for Garrett Wilson going forward because he doesn't have to be the guy. And guess what? He's good enough to be the guy. So that's even better. When you have a wide receiver two, or you know, the number two receiver on a team who is good enough to be the number one receiver on most teams out there, that's awesome. So I actually like this for fantasy. Moving over to the other instance here, and that of course is Amari Cooper. It's a little bit more complicated because we did hear from Sean McDermott yesterday saying they haven't made a decision on whether or not he's going to play. So my lean is that he does play, but my lean also is that he is not going to be as integrated as Adams, because let's face it, I don't even think Adams needs to know much of the playbook at all to go out there. Of course the coaches are going to want him to, obviously, but I think he could go out there and Aaron Rodgers could give him like a couple nods and Adams is going to know what to do. You know, they have that mind meld. They played together for so long. I don't think that's going to be the case with Josh Allen and Amari Cooper. Now, I don't think it's going to be long for Amari Cooper to get up to speed. And I'll be honest with you as well. I have Amari Cooper in one of those home leagues I just mentioned. And I sort of was like begrudgingly starting him every week because I knew any given week he can blow up. We've seen it. This is Amari Cooper. You know that can happen. And so I didn't want to miss it, essentially. Like, I mean, I was starting because he was highest ranked, but also, like, you know, thinking about it, like, yeah, I don't want to miss that week. A little bit of a deeper league in that one, too, in terms of starting lineups, but I didn't want to miss that week. Well, I'm not going to be begrudgingly starting him any longer. I'm actually very happy about this. Now, right now, I have him technically, so he is top 50. He's 44, so it's flex territory, but this one is another one where we're just going to gather information through the week, and I do think that at some point, whether it's Saturday or real early on Sunday, we're going to hear Rappaport, Schefter, perhaps a local reporter, but usually this is a national reporter thing where they say Amari Cooper's on a pitch count, or Amari Cooper limited role, or Amari Cooper full complement of snaps, or Amari Cooper not playing this week. Like, we will know in advance, and we just have to play it by ear from there. So that's all we can really do in that instance. But I love the landing spot for him. I think it is fantastic. Let me zip through some of the latest news today. This is you know, stuff that has literally just hit the news feeds. So Malik Nabers, full practice is the expectation for today. He'll clear concussion protocol. He'll be back on the field. Great. Awesome. Feels good about that. Good to have him back. Marvin Harrison Jr. So Jonathan Gannon said he is in concussion protocol. Duh. I mean, we kind of knew that. But the important part is, what step is he in? Now, they won't come out and overtly tell you. The only time we actually know the steps is when they get limited and full, because limited would mean they're in the fourth step of the protocol. Full practice would mean they're in the fifth step. So that's all we know. We can't, there's no reporting on which step they're in. So with him, I expect to see DNP today with Marvin Harrison Jr. However, it does somewhat sound optimistic. So if we get to a limited session tomorrow, you're going to have Marvin Harrison Jr. out there. And that would take any wind out of Michael Wilson's sails, because really, I don't think there's enough meat on the bone to sustain more than two players in the passing game in that offense. And those two players almost certainly are going to be Harrison Jr. and Trey McBride, right? That's it. So otherwise, you know, don't get too cute with Michael Wilson. Have a plan for the worst, but we're hoping for the best here with Marvin Harrison Jr. At least initially, I mean, it does sound somewhat favorable for him. Jonathan Taylor saying he's not sure if he's going to practice this week. In my experience, when a player says something like that, guess what? He's not going to play this week. So I had tentatively ranked Jonathan Taylor. I'll likely be taking him out of rankings for the Thursday night update. Now, of course, Trey Sermon is also banged up. So I've gotten some questions about the backfield. Like, if Trey Sermon doesn't go, if Jonathan Taylor doesn't go, who do you like in the backfield? And I think we should be really clear here. The answer is nobody. Like, just because Tyler Goodson could get a good bit of the work doesn't mean he's a good play. And I would expect them to use Evan Hull as well, because he is signed to the active roster. It's not a good situation for fantasy. Your answer is probably in another backfield if you can get away with it. I know that depth is hard to come by in fantasy, but that would be the direction I'd be really looking for. Nick Chubb. So we've heard that the team, the Browns, are going to shift to being more run heavy, which is what they traditionally, historically were with Nick Chubb in the mix. They've had to be pass heavy. It has not worked. Deshaun Watson has been a complete liability for them. I'm not going to continue to harp on that. I've already done the Deshaun Watson bit over and over and over. But Nick Chubb coming back in would make a lot of sense for them to be more run heavy. However, Ken Dorsey, who's the offensive coordinator, said that his workload this week is, quote, still a work in progress. That is really vague. That is like a political answer right there. And it doesn't really tell us that much, except maybe it does. I do think he's indicating that Nick Chubb is not going to get a full complement. And that means we're probably going to see some Deontay Foreman. No. That does not mean we're using Deontay Foreman. So don't get out over your skis on that. At least I'm not. You can do whatever the heck you want, but I'm not going to use him. So what does it mean for Nick Chubb? As of right now, I think it's fair to view him just outside the flex territory. If this narrative changes in the next, whatever, 48, 72 hours, then fine. We'll move him up, but I don't know if it does. And I think usually with these types of things, a player is coming back, it's an uncertain situation, that sort of thing. When we're in those situations, the best move is usually keep the player on the bench. Now, I've said this phrase many times before, and if you're a longtime listener to me, you know what I'm about to say. I would rather have a player blow up on my bench than put up a stinker in my starting lineup. You know, put up a dud week. Don't want that. It's not fun when they blow up on your bench, but it happens, and that's okay. The dud in your starting lineup also happens, but it's not as okay. So I'm going to exercise caution with Chubb. I do have him in a league, an industry league, the King's Classic League, where I've been sitting on him in IR, essentially, since I drafted him. That league's weird. We have four IR spots. I don't love that. I mean, I feel like it promotes hoarding in a league that's 14 teams with three flex spots. So there's a lot of players to start each week, and then all these players are hoarded up, but it is what it is. I mean, everybody plays under the same rules. So anyway, I'm probably not going to play him, unfortunately. Even in that league where I could use some help, I don't know if I can get away with it in that format. Drake May. So he had an MRI on his knee, but Alex Van Pelt came out today and said he's not concerned. And that was the reporting across the board. It went down as a full practice. I think they were probably precautionarily just taking a look, but we're all good there. Drake May looked very good in his debut. I believed in this kid all along. If you've been listening to me, you know, through the pre-draft process and everything, and I realized I didn't have this podcast until I didn't have it back. That is until, what is it, July? Was that when that happened? time's a flat circle. You know, what do you want from me? But yeah, that's around when I got it back. But I really did like Drake May back in the evaluation process and said so in the Rookie Fantasy Scouting Guide, which you can still access at ftmfantasy.com. Actually, you know, occasionally people will say, oh, yo, I open up the Rookie Fantasy Scouting Guide in like October or November when some of these rookies start to emerge. Because like every year you're going to get Tyrone Tracy's, guys like that. And I do cover those guys. Even sometimes I forget it because I cover so many of them, but it's helpful to go back, look at them, see what the profile said, you know, and take it from there. You know, obviously it's more designed for dynasty people, but can still be very useful for redraft folks. And that's part of the subscription as well. Let's turn it into an infomercial. Anyway, so good on Drake May. Mike Williams. So Mike Williams was not at practice yesterday and it was called personal. And there was some speculation that, he may be done playing for the Jets. Like whether or not he'll be active this week is up in the air. But he was actually at the practice facility. Now, that was, I think, a smart play on his part. I think he should play nice here and hope that the Jets just get something done here as soon as possible. Diana Rossini reporting a few teams in the mix inquiring for Mike Williams' services. None of them were the Chiefs, but you did have the Saints, the Steelers. That would be pretty good, actually. And how about this? The Chargers. That would be funny to me if they did trade for him. And I would hope then that they would trade for Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler and just get the whole band back together. But either way, it does sound like he'll be on the move. I don't want to get ahead of this one. I don't know what his fantasy value is going to be because it depends on where he lands. Obviously, the Saints are now in the market for a potential receiver because Rashid Shaheed, he's going to have surgery on his meniscus and almost certainly is going to land on short-term IR. Obviously, he's not playing tonight. You might be listening to this before the game. I usually don't preview Thursday Night Football because there's a short shelf life between this podcast going out and then the game starting. But, you know, anyway, let me talk about Cooper Kupp. So people have been asking me, okay, Cooper Kupp is back in practice, but why don't you have him ranked? I am proceeding with caution here. Because Sean McVay said he's trending in the right direction, but Sean McVay did not say Cooper Kupp is playing this week. The fact that he is back in practice is encouraging. It was only a limited session, though, yesterday. So I need to see a little bit more here before I'm fully confident in putting him into rankings. And, of course, things can change very, very quickly. You know, that's why I always say don't really look at rankings once and then assume you know everything. I only really find it beneficial to use rankings like right before Thursday Night Football and then right before lock on Sunday. Now, this Sunday, of course, we have another London game, but still, like, so there's two locks. That's the only times I really find it useful. I think sometimes people drive themselves a little nuts by looking at rankings constantly. But anyway, the thought process here, I need to see him actually, you know, if he gets to full today, then that's great and I'll put him in rankings immediately. But I need to see him really, truly trending in that direction. Not just Sean McVay saying it, but either way, if it's not this week, then it's next week. And that's good. You know, that's where we need to be. We're getting some of these guys back, and that's awesome. As far as the Indianapolis Colts, we will have Richardson under center. And I have been asked about Richardson and using him this week. And, you know, here's what I'm going to say. He is extremely volatile. I have him at QB13 currently, so he is on the fringe of QB1 territory. But if you want to look and compare his ceiling and floor, are you ready for his ceiling and floor? His ceiling this week is QB1. It is. I don't think it's very likely, but that is his ceiling. His floor this week is QB30. There are 30 quarterbacks playing. He could be dead last out of them. I don't think that's that likely, but it could happen. He has arguably the widest range between ceiling and floor. He has arguably one of the highest ceilings of any quarterback, and that includes Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, et cetera, Josh Allen, et cetera. Of course, he does, but it's just so darn volatile. It's so darn volatile. And so when people ask me, they say, would you start him? I don't know if that's a fair question to ask because, like, all right, you ask me, well, what if I said yes? I'm not you. And I play this game a very specific way where if I swing for the fences on a guy, like say I, you know, maybe I was rolling with Dak Prescott and I dropped Dak Prescott and I could pick up Anthony Richardson. Okay, so I put Richardson in. If Richardson craps the bed, I'm okay with that. I realize I'm taking that risk on by starting him. I don't love it, but I'm okay with it. I'm not going to go on tilt. I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm not going to woe is me. I'm not going to cry about it. I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to blame Richardson because really it's my fault. I started him. I took that risk on. I can handle it. I can move on to next week and like a goldfish, forget about this week. But you might not be able to. I don't know. I don't know you. Well, I probably do know some of you, actually, now that I say it. But for the most part, a lot of the listeners, a lot of people who are getting advice from me, I don't actually know you. I don't know what type of player you are. If you're a very emotional player, Richardson probably isn't the best start for you. Like, even if he hits, probably not the best start for you because if he doesn't hit, I know your reaction. I know that you'll go on tilt a little bit. And when you're on tilt playing this game, you know what happens as well? You make mistakes. And when you start making those mistakes, it's just bad for business overall. You know, you play bad fantasy football. So I can't answer it or, well, let's put it this way. I can't give you a good answer if I'm asked the question, what would you do? Because it doesn't really matter what I would do. You know, it matters what type of player you are. So it might be more beneficial if I present to you, hey, this is what Richardson is. Can you handle the worst case scenario? If your answer is yeah, then go for it. If your answer is no, then maybe look elsewhere. I mean, there aren't going to be a lot of streamers. Like, I doubt Geno's out there. He's a better streamer than Richardson, but I doubt he's out there. If Mahomes got dropped, probably a better option, but we've seen the ceiling isn't very high. Below Richardson, like, sure, I have Kirk Cousins and Trevor Lawrence. How do you feel about that? I mean, probably, you know, do you want to roll the dice on Richardson? Like, all, you know, all I can really do is that, but I can't really speak for you. And I know this, like, I'm not making this crap up. This isn't me just coming upon this because I don't want to tell you an answer. I do. I wish I could in every instance. I wish I did know everybody who's asking for advice so then I could give you customized advice based on your player profile. But this comes from me doing this for years. I used to just give that answer. You know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, duh, I'd start Richardson. And then if Richardson craps the bed, guess what happens? You know, that a lot of people would get angry. Oh, I thought you said he was the start. Well, he could have been. You know, and we're playing percentages in this game. And, you know, if you want to play safer percentages and not have to deal with the emotional swings of a guy whose ceiling and floor is basically first or last, then, you know, then you go that direction. But anyway, point about Richardson, he'll be out there. I do think even though both receivers aren't practiced or didn't practice yesterday, Pittman and Downs, that I do think they'll be out there. Let me rip through some of these running backs real quick. So Jordan Mason practicing, I do think he plays. Aaron Jones not practicing, but he told reporters he'd practice today. So we'll see if that actually happens. ETN actually practicing, surprisingly enough, but I don't think we're out of the woods on him. Brian Robinson practicing, which is good, should get back out there. Najee Harris not practicing, but it's a ribs issue. So I think that's probably going to be more pain tolerance. I would lean towards him playing. James Cook, lean towards him playing. He's practicing. Devon Achane practicing in full should be back as well. So a lot of good things on that front. Okay, real quick on the shadow coverage stuff. So last week, there were a few shadow situations that, you know, I expected. Legarius Sneed was on Pittman. I thought that was, you know, probably par for the course. Cam Hart, the rookie day three pick for the Chargers, actually shadowed Cortland Sutton and did a pretty good job on that. Maybe the Chargers found something in that, in Cam Hart, the Notre Dame product. Jalen Johnson was on Brian Thomas. Brian Thomas, yeah, he's getting star treatment and he deserves it. AJ Terrell was on Deontay Johnson, duh, and Johnson scored on him. But two interesting ones. So Deontay Banks, I correctly said he was going to shadow. I was not right on who he shadowed. He shadowed T. Higgins. 83% of routes. T caught 5 for 54 against Banks. So not really a shutdown or anything like that. But what this tells me is Deontay Banks is going to shadow X receivers. He's not going to shadow the top receivers. And that just furthers that point. NFL teams do not view wide receivers like you do or fantasy players do. They don't view them as 1, 2, 3. It's X, it's Z, etc. Like, that's how they view them. So that one actually now makes more sense to me. But how about the other one? Trayvon Diggs doesn't always shadow. But against Detroit, I think it made sense. But guess what? He didn't shadow who you thought. He shadowed Jameson Williams. Very interesting. Williams did score on him. But to get that star treatment, I think that is intriguing there for J. Mo. All right. This week, in terms of some of those matchups, like that I'll give you the ones I want to pick on the most. So I definitely want to pick on Seattle with both Drake London and Darnell Mooney. Very favorable matchups for them. I want to pick on Washington with Deontay Johnson. So this will help you for DFS. I want to pick on Cleveland with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. I want to pick on Minnesota with Amon-Ra. I want to pick on a little bit on Houston with Jaden Reed. That's probably the best. It is the best matchup. I'd rather go up against and Reed basically never leaves the slot. 85% slot rate against Jalen Petrie as opposed to Derek Stingley. That's nice to avoid Derek Stingley. I want to pick on the Green Bay Packers on the other side out of the slot as well. It's a good matchup for the slot. And guess what? Your slot for Houston is Stephon Diggs, 59% slot rate on the season for Diggs. If Cooper Kupp plays, I do like the matchup against Vegas. Don't hate the other side if Jacoby Myers is going to play. Love the matchup for Justin Jefferson. Just love Justin Jefferson in general. Deontay Banks should shadow A.J. Brown. Devontae Smith has been playing the slot for them, and Brown is the X receiver, so that one makes a lot of sense. Chris Godwin, actually don't hate. He's just playing so so good, but I don't hate him against Baltimore. And Terry McLaurin, he should see some J.C. Horn in shadow, not a full shadow, but I actually don't mind it. And he's been on fire here recently, so not a bad spot for him there. All right, that's going to do it for today. So tomorrow, I'm going to come back. I'm going to go through quick thoughts on Thursday Night Football and then preview all the games like normal. So this week is a normal week, unlike last week where obviously I had a thing on Friday. I don't have a thing tomorrow, so I'll be back here doing the regular. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com, and then follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe and on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.